Wake up. It's Friday. That's right. Friday of bye week. Friday, December the 5th. Wake up. We got Niners news. We got Giants news. Maybe even a little Warriors to get into. Let's go.
Oh, welcome, welcome indeed. The bye week is here. It is Friday, December 5th. Happy birthday to my sister, Lindsay Bruce. It is Lindsay Bruce's birthday today. It should be a really good weekend for everybody. Hopefully, Lindsay has a good birthday weekend. Larry, I know you are planning on having a great weekend. We're going to be hanging out with your crowd, a few people who might watch me every now and then. We'll talk about how you're throwing down at Pig in the Pickle. It's supposed to be a stress-free football weekend, and it's the most stressed out I've ever been about a football game in my entire life. Indiana, Ohio State, for the first Big Ten title Indiana's ever played for in my life. Oh, my God. It is a huge weekend of college football. We get to focus on that. And then, hey, would you like an entire football season wrapped up in four games? Because that's what the 49ers got. It is a four-game football season for the San Francisco 49ers, and I know we're going to be talking about that an awful lot today. Larry, good to see you again, brother. Let's hop right into how much fun you're planning on having at Pig in a Pickle this weekend.
Well, you know, we hope to see everybody there. It is the Krug Show Meet and Greet, M-E-E-T. It could be an M-E-A-T because we'll be at Pig in a Pickle in Corte Madera.
I see what you did there.
Yes, I could have put M-E-A-T, but I just, you know, that was too corny for me. So I went with meet and greet the regular way. But this is a picture from our last meet and greet. We probably had 40 or 50 people show up, real informal. And I'm not sure what we're expecting. I've had a bunch of people say, hey, I'm heading out there. So thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. I don't want to get emotional about it, but, you know, I got laid off KMBR in 2022 2022, March of 2022. And I started this YouTube channel, and I had been on the radio since really on and off consistently from mid-90s when Damon was my producer at Sports Byline USA, if you can believe it, way back. I was 25. You were 23, something like that? 22?
Yeah. I was 21. You know, there was.
I'm born in 70. What year are you born?
75.
Okay, five years younger. Yeah. Okay, so 5 years difference. Just like you're like my second brother. My older brother's 5 years older. You're 5 years younger. So I was 25. You were 20. You know, I was 26. You were 21. We were relative babes. We had no wives. All we cared about was where we were going to party next. But, you know, so I've been doing this for a long time. And so I got laid off in 2022, and I still had, you know, two kids in college, two more that I wanted to put through college, a daughter that I had to pay for a wedding. And I didn't panic, but I was like, okay, what now?
It rocks you. It rocks you.
I lost a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. I won't say how much, but a lot. And I wasn't sure what direction I was going, and I didn't have anybody necessarily that I knew that I, you know, that was like, hey, you know, try this or come move here and do a show here. And I remember I started this YouTube channel in 2022, and just blindly just started doing as many things on YouTube as possible, just to try to stay relevant, thinking maybe that would lead to another radio opportunity. And I remember after about a month or two, going into Pig in a Pickle, and I had been the spokesman for Pig in a Pickle for five or six years at KMBR. And I said to the owner, Damon Stainbrook, I said, Damon, hey man, you know, KMBR laid me off, and I would love it if you would advertise my YouTube channel. Right now, I'm just in the infancy stages of building it up, but when I get to like 10,000 subs, would you consider leaving KMBR and coming with me over to YouTube? And he said, oh, Krug, I never told you, but when they dumped you, I dumped them. And I couldn't believe it because he never called me, never told me. And, of course, you know, the last thing you do is listen to the radio station that just dumped you. So I hadn't been listening, and I didn't know that he had pulled his spots. And I was floored by it. And I went home and I told my wife, I'm like, honey, the guy from Pig in a Pickle pulled his spots, you know, because KMBR laid me off. And she was like, wow, I can't believe that. That's unbelievable loyalty. And so I said to him, I said, hey, would you consider advertising? And he said, absolutely. And he has been my primary advertiser since about, you know, I would say 5 to 6 months into my channel. And I went to him about a year ago. And I said, Damon, you know, I just want to say thanks again for sponsoring my channel. He's like, hey, I'll pay more. It's been great. It's been a great relationship. And I think I should pay more and this and that. You got a lot more of an audience now and you got way more views. You're getting 2 million views a month. I'm going to pay more. And I said, no, you're not. You're never going to pay more. You're never going to pay a penny more. And so he's, you know, we now have a special friendship and kinship and, not because of that, but going way, way back. And so he is the title sponsor of the Krug Show, always has been. And as long as he wants to be, always will be. And we'll be there at his location in Corte Madera, December 7th, this Sunday. And I'll be there from when it opens at 11. I'll be there all day watching football, eating barbecue, hanging out, talking ball. I'm bringing my wife. I'm bringing my two younger boys. They may not be able to come for the whole thing, but they're going to come for a few hours. Kev won't be able to make it because he'd be in Hawaii, but we'll be over there. And we'll give away a Ricky Pearsall autographed mini helmet, a bunch of Krug Show merch we're going to give away as well. And it's just an open house, informal. Stop by, get some barbecue, maybe bring it home to your family, hang out, watch some ball, say hello. We'll have some prizes, just real informal, as you can see here. If you have a Niner jersey or Niner gear, wear it. I'll be hanging out all day. Come say hello and sit down and let's have a beer, have a root beer and just wrap. So anyway, thanks to all of you. Most specifically, thank you to Damon and Mary, the owners of Pig in a Pickle. I just want to say that, you know, now here we are. It's 2025 and we've got the channel's doing amazing and we're doing very, very well. And I just wanted to say, and my wife wanted to say, you know, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because I don't want to be emotional about it, but when I really needed somebody to, you know, help me, Pig in a Pickle was there to help me. And anyway, thank you to Pig in a Pickle.
I'm just going
to
tell you, Larry, when it all goes down, you want as many Damons in your corner as humanly possible. That's Damons true. Are historically wonderful people.
That's true. No, that is true. But thank you to Pig in a Pickle. And yeah. Damon, I know you know better than anybody what I went through, what that experience feels like.
Look, Larry,
how you feel like you're a player without a team. You're yeah. you're a person without a home. You have no radio home. You've had radio homes for your whole life. And I still thought, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought, hey, you know what? I know I'm being laid off here, but I still think I'm pretty good. And I think I can contribute something. I think if we go somewhere else to a different platform that's growing, we're going to be able to be just fine. And it's worked out. And then
it has.
Told you know what? Follow me over here and you can do this. And you're doing it, man. You're going to have 50,000 subs before long. And not everybody does it. Not everybody makes it over here. So,
Larry,
to you to make it.
Thank you, man. Well, you know, I had a blueprint. You know, you forged into a world without a blueprint, and that's really what I think you should be most proud of. You didn't have anybody reaching their hand back to pull you into this new space. You just sort of carved it out yourself. And when you're the first guy through the wall, you get bruises. And I learned a lot from your bruises. And you told me and showed me how to just jump on here and start doing it. And yeah, the layoff has nothing to do with whether or not you're a good broadcaster or not. We had an economic collapse in an industry that we had dedicated our entire lives to. And we were, you know, the cannon fodder of that economic collapse. We, in a normal world, would both still be an afternoon drive on our respective radio stations. In a normal world, nothing would have changed, but the world became abnormal. And Larry, your pivot helped me make my pivot. I'm incredibly grateful for your friendship and the mentorship and the advice. Kevin has helped me out an awful lot too in the early dawn of all this. I didn't even know how to, you know, open up a merch store. Kevin told me how to do that. So you guys deserve all of the accolades and the success that's coming to you. And I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. And soon as Jillian and I wrap up what we're doing on Saturday morning, we're throwing the kids in the car and we're going to come on up to Pig in a Pickle. And
Sunday.
On Saturday, I'm watching the Big Ten title game. There's nothing I care about outside of that. Not you, not my family, nothing. Go Hoosiers. But then on Sunday, I will refocus to be a family man and a supporter of yours as well. And we're going to be up there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, man. Thank you for coming out. And I also I don't want to forget this, but you know, I know you don't necessarily get along with Grant, but I reached out to Grant because I'd noticed that Grant was doing really well in the YouTube space. And we met at Gottschalk's in downtown Walnut Creek and went to lunch I gotta thank him as well, because you know, there's no question in my mind that he easily could have been like, I'm not telling you anything, because the more people watch you, technically there's less people watching me, and that's not the way Grant rolls. And he was like, hey man, let me show you how I'm doing this. Let's talk about it. I've listened to you for years on the radio. I know you can have success doing this. Take a breath. Don't worry. Do what I tell you, and things are going to go all right. And so I have to thank Grant. I know there's lots of people in this audience that are like, I hate him, I can't stand him. I understand that. And believe me, he understands that. Part of it's for effect, right? But, there's an old saying, people that shit on you aren't necessarily your friends. And people that take shit off your back aren't necessarily... or people that shit on you aren't necessarily your enemies. People that take shit off your back aren't necessarily your friends. And, Grant really helped me in my weakest moment, and I'll always be loyal to him for that and appreciative. So, Grant, thank you, man, because I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, he's a bad guy, his dad's a bad guy. They're not bad guys. They might be heels as far as the media is concerned, and easy to hate and easy to root against, and they'll put themselves out there to be judged harshly. But this is the kind of thing that really matters.
You know, I'll say this about Grant. In public spaces, we've never been very nice to each other. When we're around each other, it's always a pleasant, hi, how are you? It's, I got no problems with the guy. We do different things in different ways. His dad, I'm always going to have a little problem with Lowell, what he tried to do. But look, it's forgive and forget, and I got too many things going on to carry grudges against anybody. And again, you reveal who you are when people need help. The fact that he helped you means that there's got to be an element of decency in there no matter what. He's married, he's got kids, so he's got to be a good guy. You know, that's the way I look at it. Let bygones be bygones. We got bigger things to worry about. Like, can this team win the one seed? And it's out there for him, Larry. I mean, that's the insane thing. It's freaking out there. It is out there. This is a four-game season for the San Francisco 49ers. And with a little ripple of luck, maybe the Rams catching a loss, the Seahawks catching a loss, the Bears, by the way, are going to lose twice before they play the 49ers. I'm telling you that right now. The 49ers are incredibly well-positioned in spite of the fact everything's been working against them all year long. And that's kind of where I wanted to start today in our conversation, because of maybe some shows that have been hosted by your friend Grant Cohn. there's a lot of just elements of, I don't like Shanahan. No matter what he does, I'm not going to like Shanahan. No matter what Brock Purdy does, I'm not going to like Shanahan. I won't be happy. If they win a Super Bowl, I'll acknowledge at least they did that, but I'm never going to like him. I'm never going to root for him. There is a percentage of this fan base that is out there doing that, and I just don't know why. What is nuts to me is that this is, if you'd like proof whether or not Shanahan's a great coach, the fact that he is totally absent from any coach of the year discussion right now just means that everyone thinks, well, he's got nothing left to prove. You know, normally, like Steve Kerr's Warriors teams were so dominant that it was like, well, coach isn't going to get any credit for that. Forget it. Nick Saban in Alabama wasn't getting coach of the year consideration as Alabama was threatening to go undefeated almost every single year because they're so talented. They're so good. They're so set up for success. He doesn't even get consideration. The coach of the year is always going to go from who's doing the most with the least. Kyle Shanahan is doing more with the least amount of talent I think, than anybody. Like Vrabel, who is going to win Coach of the Year, has more talent right now in New England than what Kyle Shanahan has. Kyle Shanahan's got Christian McCaffrey and then just guys. And he's 9-4 with that. This is one of the greatest coaching seasons of his career. Where it goes, we do not know. The fact he is off the board in Vegas speaks to his reputation. He doesn't even get credit for seeing this team through its incredibly difficult season. It's almost expected of him. Of course, Kyle's going to be able to get through all these injuries. And, you know, it didn't happen last year, but it's happening this year. And I just think the guy, again, he's not going to be coach of the year, but he should be in that conversation. He's done a spectacular job. We, you know, always crap on Kyle for certain moments and things we don't like. And where's the hurry up offense? And get more aggressive on fourth down. By the way, he has listened to us. He is much more aggressive on fourth down than he's ever been. It's a hell of a year for the 49ers and Shanahan. And whether they win the Super Bowl or don't, it doesn't change that. It's been a spectacular season for him as a coach. And Robert Saleh obviously has an awful lot to do with that.
Well, and Brent Boyer, I mean, you know, the 49ers are now, you know, they're really good on special teams. They've been really good recently on defense as far as getting turnovers. And offensively, they've got Brock Purdy back, and he looks to be healed. I mean, I don't want to say that he is healed, but he had him play in this last game where Isaiah McGuire on the second play of the game got penetration into the backfield, and he needed to spurt away, and he did. And it's like that spurt ability, I wasn't sure if he had that, and he does. So he has the spurt ability. He took care of the football in this last game on the road in windy conditions against a really good defensive line. So I think we found the happy medium. It's between Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. Yeah, we should call him Brock Jones. Brock Jones. Because in a lot of ways, I mean, think about it. Mac Jones came in. What did he do? He danced before the game, and then he took care of the football, and he threw really accurately, and he kind of was overly secure with the football. He didn't drive it down the field as often as Purdy, but he took care of it, and they went 5-3. And I think Brock Purdy watched that and saw that and said, hey, when I get back in there, A, I got to dance. So I'll be doing the Dougie. And then B, you know what? I got to take care of the football. You know, we're going to win games if I just take care of the football. And Damon, I think they got a great chance. I mean, the 49ers are favored in all four of their remaining games. They're 12.5-point favorites over the Titans out of the bye. They're two and a half point favorites over the other three teams. They're favored in all four games. So this whole like, oh my God, the gauntlet of games. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's some good teams compared to some of the patty cakes they've played, but I mean, the Bears are at home. The Seahawks are at home. The Titans are at home. They got four games left. Three of them are at home. All four of them they're favored in, and they're 9-4. So, you know, yes, Kyle Shanahan shouldn't be 30-1. If you want to give it to Vrabel or Ben Johnson, that's fine. But the Canalises and the Steichens, are these guys really doing a better job than Shanahan, who had to go 8 games without his starting quarterback? And Kittle missed time, JJ missed time, Pearsall missed time, Warner's done for the year, Bosa's done for the year, your first-round pick is done for the year. You know, it's like, look at the adversity this team has faced. Shanahan should be in the running at 9-4. And if they run the table, he should win it, but he won't. No. But he's not. I'll say this though. Shanahan ain't about it. He's not.
He doesn't care at all.
Kyle's not about that.
Kyle knows there's only one missing ingredient on his resume, and he doesn't care about anything other than that. He needs a Lombardi trophy. He knows he needs a Lombardi trophy. He needs one for himself. He needs one to get out of his dad's shadow. He needs one just to sleep well at night. He needs more than one. Let's be honest. He wants more than one. But it all starts with one. I don't know if this is going to be the year or not, but if it ain't, it won't be because of anything he did. You know, eventually.
Career validation.
Oh,
that's what he needs.
This guy
needs some career validation. He's one of the great coaches. You know, they're in a great spot right now. It's weird. I've been covering this team for years. I'm down there every day. I'm starting to feel the momentum, and here's where it's coming from. when you're already dead, when you've already been given up for dead, it's easy to have an us against the world mentality. Us right. against the world is a very strong locker room theme. And then you've got Shanahan, who is a very talented coach, and yet he doesn't have a ring. So he's very, very hungry. And you've got these other coaches. Robert Saleh is hungry to be a head coach again. And you know, they've got a defensive line that's kind of a misfit toys cast off defensive line. The Cleveland Farrells, the Keon Whites, the Jordan Elliotts. Nobody wanted any of these guys. Bryce Huff. Nobody wanted any of these guys. So it's like you got the line that nobody wanted. You got a young group of DBs. I'm telling you right now, Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa are playing really well.
Yeah.
And their young DBs are playing really, really well. And then you've got, you know, a special teams unit that's doing it, offense that's doing it, defense that's producing turnovers. And they know that they've been given up for dead. They felt it. You know, no Bosa, no Warner. Oh, my God, no Mikel Williams. We're done. But you're not done. And everybody else keeps getting weaker. The rest of the NFC teams, they're not getting better, Damon. They're getting worse.
Larry,
every week somebody gets knocked off, yeah. And all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a second, they don't have that guy. And you know, they don't have that guy. And you know, Green Bay just lost Kraft, and you know, the Bills just lost Ed Oliver. And you look at all these Super Bowl contenders, and they're getting kind of chipped away, whittled away. Eagles can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. It's not the same team. I mean, Tampa's continue to get hurt more and more and more.
Can we just thank the Lions for what they did to the Cowboys? Because I really didn't want to live in a world for the next 2 weeks. The Cowboys were the nobody wants to play them in the playoffs. Should they reach the play? I'm so glad we don't have any Cowboys back to life over gushing of the media for the next 2 weeks. Thank you, Detroit Lions. Thank you very much last night. We do appreciate that. But the chip on the shoulder thing that you talk about, Larry, the us against the world mentality, teams literally pretend that that's happening because it's such a powerful motivator in a locker room. When teams are not an us against the world situation where, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's, you know, Cleveland versus everybody. Dude, my ass, you got LeBron James, you got Kyrie Irving. Like, come on, that's a really good team. It's, you know, and if players go about inventing that shit when it's not even real, what kind of a bounce does it give a team when it's actually real? You know, and I think that's what you're feeling down in Santa Clara. This is not an illusion of an us against the world. Everyone looked past us. We ain't supposed to be here. That's real. That's really happening to the 49ers. And I got to tell you, another reason why Shanahan needs, I think, to be considered in this conversation for coach of the year is just look at who they are. Look at what they got. This is not being done by talent. This is being done by scheme. You've got the single least impressive wide receiver room, maybe in the sport, and you are throwing the ball around like it's Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. It's crazy.
Well, because you got McCaffrey.
And he's the piece. I mean, that's the thing. With all due
respect, he's amazing. They have some great pieces, and they haven't won it. So it's like, you know, it kind of reminds me of the NCAA tournament. It reminds me a little bit of the NCAA tournament where sometimes you get these teams that are like, oh, man, like they're amazing. Duke 1 year was amazing, and they should have won it all. They didn't. But then a couple years later with a lesser team, they did. I mean, like, or like Michigan State, you know, did they win it all? Well, you know what? The Draymond team wasn't all that great, but they still got to the Final Four.
To me, you know, Larry, the ultimate example of this was that loaded Tennessee team with Peyton Manning. Manning graduates, goes number one in the draft, and then the next year, Philip Fulmer wins the national title with T. Martin.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I was thinking of like maybe the Royals against the Giants in baseball. You know, they lost in 14. They came back in 15, and they won it. And they may have not even have been as good in 15. Maybe they were better. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I think of my childhood, I think of the Dodgers. The Dodgers were awesome in the late 70s, right? The Dodgers were an awesome team in the 70s. Harvey and Lopes right and Russell and Say.
You don't have to go to the amazing team.
Oh, I know. But I mean, they were amazing in the early in the 70s, right? And they went to the World Series in 74 and they lost to the A's. And that was before my time. But then they went again in 76 and they lost to Billy Martin's Yankees. They went again, or I guess in 77. 77. they went again and they lost to Billy Martin's Yankees. In 78, they went back to back and lost again to Billy Martin's Yankees. So then they get there in 81. I don't even think they were probably as good in 81 as they were in the 70s, but they won. So, you know, sometimes the New York Giants team that beat Tom Brady was not an all-time Giants team, but they got hot late. They won. The best, who was a better team, the 87 or 88 49ers? Well, the 87 Niners were the best regular season team. They won, they lost two games all year, and they just got upset in the playoffs. 88, they got hot at the end, and even though they went 10-6, they won the Super Bowl. And I just think that this team kind of reminds me they got a lot to prove. I mean, they got a lot to prove. You got a lot of really hungry guys. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, CMC. I mean, they got a core of guys, Juice, that should have rings and don't. And so they, maybe this is the year they get one when they shouldn't, but they do. By the way,
what would that say about Nick Bosa and Fred Warner? My God, don't ever spend money on a defensive end like that ever again, right? We're not going to do that. We're not going to reevaluate what everyone's making all the time like it's Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to overcome the losses of great players to do it. And it's been done before, but it's going to be a huge challenge.
Well, and let's talk about getting through this bye week, because what, Yetur Gross-Matos might actually be assigned a helmet coming up soon. I don't think he's been given a helmet yet since he's joined the team, but he might need one because he's getting better in playing. I also heard that Tatum Bethune, maybe not ready for Tennessee, but after that can be rejoining the team. That's going to be a huge help. I think Bethune is a key piece to get healthy here. D. Winters has been doing an incredible job, but he can't do it all by himself. Hopefully Bethune gets a lot of great treatment in this bye week and is back.
Sam
in the
O, there's other guys too. Sam O needs to come back. I mean, they got some guys that are making their way back. So we'll see. I mean, they're going to get Eddie Pinheiro. They're going to get Sam O. They're going to get Yetur Gross-Matos. They're going to get Tatum Bethune. Maybe even one or two guys we're not thinking of, but they're going to get some guys back.
So Larry, you know, first of all, we got to always approach and tiptoe carefully around guesstimates of when the injured player could be returning. I mean, I remember, you know, Brandon Ayuk could be there week one being something ridiculous we talked about in the offseason.
We
never bought into that. Matt Barrows, who I know the both of us really like and respect, Barrows is good at what he does. He had a mailbag where he's talking about, you know, could Fred Warner possibly, because, you know, he got injured the week of January 10th. It would be 13 weeks since the injury if the playoffs are here. And they started assigning some percentages to Fred Warner returning. Wild card round, Barrows goes 16%. I'm sure he's pulling these all out of his rear end. But divisional round, 44%. Championship round, 78%. And if the 49ers are in the Super Bowl, Matt Barrows has Fred Warner at just try to stop him from playing percent. So I don't know if that should or could possibly happen. I mean, what would be better? A Bethune, who's absolutely cooking and playing great, or a, hey, Fred, you haven't played in months, but we're going to ask you to step back in and play. So I don't know if that's right or the thing at the same time. How do you say Fred Warner? You're not playing. If he's ready to play, you play the guy. But it's just an interesting thing to think about. And an X marks the spot of what could be waiting for you in the postseason. Boy, wouldn't that be a shot in the arm? Fred Warner back?
Well, okay.
It's not going to happen. Let me have a pipe dream.
My first inclination is to just, you know, no, I won't even entertain it. He broke his ankle October the 12th. January, you know, mid January would be 13 weeks. They say he needs roughly 13 weeks. Okay. So my first of all, you know, I just don't believe in creating. I'm a Niner fan in addition to a Niner content creator. I don't try to pretend that I'm not a fan. I am a fan. I don't think it's good to, if I talk about it, maybe other people might talk about it. I don't think it's good for the 49ers to create any expectation.
Right. You're any return at all guy when it comes to injured players. You always have been.
I just don't believe in why create disappointment for yourself? You know what I mean? Don't you don't have to create disappointment. You can say he ain't coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. Hey, guess what? Surprise, surprise. Fred feels good and he's going to make it. He's coming back. Let's all be surprised together. If we talk about it, then I think there's an expectation. If there's an expectation, then there's a disappointment. If there's a disappointment, then there's a loss of momentum. And I don't want to see a playoff loss of momentum or a Super Bowl loss of momentum, because we all thought Fred was coming back and he ain't. Okay. So I just like to, now the Niners, according to a report I'm reading right now on 49er Web Zone, John Lynch spoke to Matt Maiocco this week and revealed that Fred consistently reminds the team he expects to be back. The Niners are not discouraging him. Lynch's quote was, "I think it's outside the realm, and I promise you it's our duty with a player like Fred not to ever put himself in harm's way in terms of not being ready." So they don't want to put him out there if he can't do it. And yet he has so much heart, and he's so much a part of this core, and he's probably a future Hall of Famer. And I look at it this way. We all need to constantly reevaluate injury timelines, because modern medicine is not static. It's dynamic. It's not staying the same. It's changing. And if you want a reminder of that, just look no further than how fast guys are coming back from, like, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was supposedly out for the year with turf toe surgery, done for the year. He beat Lamar last week. We're 4 weeks away from the end of the regular season. He's already had the surgery, rehabilitated, got healthy, and is back out there from the surgery of turf toe. So a major turf toe injury. So I think we all need to, you know, just kind of pump the brakes and just reassess medical timelines, because modern medicine is improving. And the techniques are improving, and the rehab times are being shortened, and everybody's coming back sooner and better than ever. So it used to be an Achilles was a career ender. You know, Dan Marino could never move again after his Achilles. Well, 5 years after that,
Dan couldn't move before the Achilles injury, but that's a different story.
Yeah, but I mean, five years later, Michael Crabtree is playing receiver, you know, after tearing his Achilles, which was thought to be impossible before. So I my first thought is no, it's not going to happen. I still think it's probably remote and it would be like a Super Bowl thing only. But I won't say completely no, just because it sounds like Fred really wants it, but they're also got to think about what's in his best term interest.
All right. Long-term. So if you don't, if you don't want to do anything other than pump the brakes, you're going to hate this, Larry. Because here's the other thing that I've been thinking about. Just bi-week conversations. We don't have a game to preview. We just got some topics to noodle on. So we both, I think, agree that there's no chance that Brandon Ayuk would come back in the regular season with no guarantees. It's basically over. Okay. So now you're in the postseason. Now you're the one seed. Now you got a shot to go to the Super Bowl. Does Brandon Ayuk reconsider? Would they allow Brandon Ayuk to step back into the circle of love for a couple of playoff games? And then we're getting divorced. We all know but it would be good for you to catch a Super Bowl and a touchdown as you're going forward in your career. And it would be good for us if you scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So Brandon Ayuk, I know that we both kind of dislike each other right now, but we have a common goal here. Maybe Brandon Ayuk playoffs.
You know, I would say no, but there's another factor here. Showcase. If you don't showcase, you probably just release. If you do showcase and he plays bad, you probably just release. But if you showcase and he looks good or passable, now you've got a trade asset. And trading him, I think, is something that they would probably prefer to do. So I think that one, actually, even though it sounds more outlandish, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a possibility.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. I could see how it works for a few people. Now, there's no doubt here. We got Ayuk is back in Shanahan's doghouse. He gets his mail in the doghouse. He hasn't left it in a long time. Mark Gravy Graves says Ayuk would be so rusty dropping passes. Ayuk would instantly be the best wide receiver. I don't care if he hasn't played in three fucking years. Are you looking at the group that you have? Outside of Juwan Jennings, you got guys who can't catch colds. Kendrick Bourne hasn't done anything since a Rams game at the beginning of the year. Ricky Pearsall hasn't been heard from since the third week of September. I will take Brandon Ayuk off the street, angry, not even wanting to be here, before I would ask Jordan Watkins to not play again today because no one trusts you to get out on the field ever.
See, I disagree. I think I would look forward and not look back. The future is about Jordan Watkins, and the fact that he hasn't played
isn't about Jordan Watkins. Don't tell me about his future. He doesn't even have a
future. Is about Jordan Watkins, and so you put him out there, and his non-production to this point has zero to do with how he's going to play. It has everything to do with injuries and timelines and pecking orders and depth charts. And I'm telling you, the guy can play.
Man, but if you can't crack this depth chart, if you're the guy on the team,
it's about injury. He's not
hurt anymore, Larry. He's been healthy scratch 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still about injury. It's still about working your way back from the injury. I mean, and getting into the rhythm and getting out there. I mean, they've got to have a need and they've got to use him. I'd rather go with him who can actually run and actually has a future. He is a complimentary piece. He can do something. Jordan Watkins or Cowing even can do something. They can run off the coverage. Ayuk at this point, I don't think he can do anything. And I'd be very skeptical of what he could do coming back. And I don't think he's ready. And the people that said he was ready weeks ago. No, he wasn't. There's a major difference between running in civvies and getting open against NFL corners. There's a gigantic divide there. And people are like, oh, you know what? He's ready. He's been ready for months. No. He's not ready. He's absolutely not ready. Otherwise he'd be out there. I'd rather go with those speedy.
I don't subscribe to that at all. I think that there are plenty young wide receivers who've been more than ready, and Shanahan just hates
wide receivers. It's just a developmental situation. He doesn't hate young wide receivers. Young wide receivers are often raw. They don't do the, you know, the for every Tetaroa McMillan, for every Emeka Egbuka, there's the vast majority of them. They're mostly raw. I mean, it's just totally different. In college, it's like, you know, you're running this play. In the pros, it's like it's the level of the layers of complexity compared to this play are just off the charts
again.
In college, when the ball is not coming to you, guys don't even cinch up their freaking, you know, they don't even button their thing. They don't even cinch up their gloves. I mean, there's several layers of complexity. That's why you just don't see receivers do much as rookies. Lots of good ones.
Well, so, you don't see Niners receivers do much as rookies. That's for sure. Shanahan just, I mean, since Brandon Ayuk's rookie year, name me the young receiver that this team has drafted, developed, and plays.
Yeah, but that's suggesting that it's about their rookie status, because then you're saying that, well, they were great after that. They weren't great after that. You're right. They haven't drafted a good receiver, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with they weren't any good, because those guys weren't just not good as rookies. The guys that they've drafted haven't been good as second-year players or third-year players or fourth-year players. They just haven't drafted the right guys, period. So I think that's really what it's about. More
what do we got here? Wait, Damon consistently shows you can have a sports show and know very little about sports. Here's what I know about all the wide receivers that Kyle Shanahan's drafted. He doesn't play them by hook, by crook, by injury, by whatever. Jordan Watkins has not been a factor once this year. You ain't going to see him over the next four fucking weeks.
He played Julio Jones. He played Taylor Gabriel. He played those guys in Atlanta. They just haven't drafted the right guys. I mean, he's playing Ricky Pearsall. He would have played Ricky Pearsall as a rookie. You don't think he would have played if he hadn't been shot? I think he would have.
Well, he played a little, but I mean, now little. Ricky Pearsall isn't playing very well. What can I tell
you? I'm just saying, there's a difference between he doesn't play them and they're not playing well. And there's a difference between he's not playing them and they're not good. I mean, show me a good receiver that he didn't play as a rookie and then played a ton as a second year, third year, fourth year. No, it just, they haven't drafted the right guys. And when you draft the wrong guys, you draft the wrong guys. You know, they drafted Jalen Hurd. They didn't have to draft Jalen Hurd. They did. They drafted a bunch of donkeys. I mean, the list is extensive. Since the Niners drafted Terrell Owens, they've had horrible draft choices on receivers. Bruce Ellington and DeAndre Smelter and all kinds of witness, you know, protection program nobodies. So, yeah, I mean, they just drafted the wrong guys. I think, Kyle, that whole narrative is overblown. They've played a ton of rookies this year. They've played Upton Stout all year. They played all these rookies this year. He'll play rookies. He wants a win. I mean, football is no different than baseball or basketball. If you have too many guys that are too young or too old, you lose. You got to play the guys who are ready to play. And Shanahan knows rookie receivers aren't typically ready to play.
Again, which but makes it problematic. If you're talking about week one, week two, first month of the year, I get it. But here we are. It's week 14. You should be able to tread a little bit of water by now. I'm not asking you to swim the ocean, but tread water. I'm not asking you to know the entire playbook. But, you know, run straight, pull off the coverage. Jordan Watkins.
There's not a lot of balls for these guys, though. You've got a running back who leads the universe in receptions and gets the ball a ton, who's 40% of your offense. You have a future Hall of Fame tight end. So, I mean, right there, and you have Juwan Jennings, who's kind of like a go-to guy, who's not just a go-to guy. He's a go-to guy that you and I both know is in the midst of a contract year where he's playing with incentives. So you got JJ, who's like demanding the ball. You got Kittle, who's a Hall of Famer who should be getting the ball. You got CMC, who's a Hall of Famer who's having a career year, thousand, he's getting the ball. And so they've kind of created a perfect storm where no other weapon touches the ball. I think it's going to change between now and the end of the year. All I'm saying is, if you're going to put another weapon out there who hasn't really done anything, give me the guy who runs 4.37 who can create some room.
Yeah,
Don't give me another guy with a gigantic ego and huge expectations. And you know what? He wants to get his. No. If he comes back, great. But I'd rather see Watkins or Cowan get out there, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. If they were going to get out there, they'd be out there by now. They're all Danny Gray.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's countless examples of players who didn't play huge roles until the final stretch of the season and then did play significant roles. So, I mean, it's you know, it can happen. It can happen. Hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it can't happen.
You're telling me Jordan Watkins is a sleeper cell wide receiver. That's great. I would wake him up and I would get him going.
All I'm saying is when Jordan Watkins is really, really good, you come back and say, Krug, you had tremendous faith in him when everybody quit, because it sounds like you've quit on him. Well, I think he's going to be very good. Not, I think he's good. He's pretty good. I think he's going to be very good. But I've seen him a lot. And I saw him a lot this summer and he looked great.
You know who also looked great this summer? Ricky Pearsall. You know who also looked great this summer? DeMarcus Robinson. We don't even see these guys.
That's fair. DeMarcus Robinson has been very disappointing. I thought DeMarcus Robinson, first of all, I don't think they're using DeMarcus Robinson right yet. DeMarcus Robinson, I think, is really, really good in the red zone, on the goal line, rub routes, and I think they're going to bust him out down the stretch, and you're going to see some unstoppable red zone stuff from him. But we haven't seen it yet. And it's in there. I saw it this summer and I saw it with the Rams. He's got ability.
I wish they would use him more. I wish he would get more opportunity. I really do. Hit like and subscribe, everybody, across both of our channels. It is the Friday of a bye week, and across all of our platforms that we're streaming on right now, Larry, we've got over 1,000 people in the room. Thank you for being so dedicated and loyal and watching Wake Up in and out of regular season weeks, bye weeks. We really, really do appreciate it. Thank you for being here. And I want to ask you, Larry, how much longer do you think Robert Saleh has here? Because already is, you know, some NFL pundits are looking towards this offseason and the coaching changes. Robert Saleh's name is right on the top of teams will be interested in, and rightfully so. He is head coaching material. What I hope, though, is that the Niners would find a way to incentivize him to stick around for one more year. Number one, they would get a compensatory pick if he, I think, was here 2 years. And number two, I think that they can really sell him on, look, dude, we can money you up. This isn't going to be a, you need to go be a head coach to make real money again. You're all moneyed up. You're never going to worry about money again, Robert. But what we do want you to worry about is your next situation and not going to an incompetent franchise because they're now hiring. No one should ever take the Jets job, ever. What you should wait for is for the Bills to say, now we're moving on from our head coach. We're going to bring you into a good situation. Not we're going to have you be the next coach of the Tennessee Titans. And on day one, you got to make something out of this pile of donkey crap. Like if I were Saleh, I would realize I'm in a really good situation and I'm not leaving it until I find my next really good situation. I don't need to jump back into being a head coach. I can stroll back into being a head coach when the timing's right and the situation's right. And that's what I would be doing. If I were Jed York, that's what I'd be selling Bobby Saleh on. I would just be
there's a couple things going on here. One, he's going to be very coveted. Why? Because he's a good defensive coordinator, but also because he has worked in the Shanahan coaching tree. So he's got great relationships with the LaFleurs and the Kubiaks and all these offensive guys who have experience in the offensive system that is prevalent in the league right now, that most teams want to run, and that's Shanahan's system. So you get two for one. You get the defensive coordinator and you get a guy who's really connected to offensive coaches off the tree that you want to plant. So that I think it makes Robert Saleh very, very attractive. And a lot of people have suggested that the Tennessee Titans, that he may wind up there either with Mike LaFleur, the Rams offensive coordinator, or Mike McDaniel, if he gets dumped in Miami, as his offensive coordinator. I would say this, if Robert Saleh said, Krug, you're around here all the time. I hear your questions. I think you know football a little bit. Give me some advice. What should I do? I would say what you just said, basically, which is, you know, one is what you were basically saying without saying it is you don't get endless chances and endless bites of the apple to be an NFL head coach. You get one or two, right? I mean, show me an example of an assistant who was, you know, considered to be a good assistant who got three different head coaching opportunities. It doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen. You get one or two if you're lucky. There's not too many that where you get a third team. Oh, you failed with the Raiders and you failed with the Falcons, but here comes the Cardinals. That usually doesn't happen. Shanahan might get three more opportunities from being what he's done, but I don't think like a hot coordinator would get three opportunities. Okay, so that's one. You've already had one with the Jets and it didn't work out. It flamed out terribly. And so you want to make sure that your next head coaching spot is the right one.
Jets stink didn't stick to Saleh.
It's not sticking to him.
I don't think Saleh's
It's one of his chances. It's one of his chances, whether we want to admit it or not. He's not going to get endless chances. So these are the teams that need head coaches. New York Giants, Tennessee Titans, Raiders, Falcons, Cardinals, Browns, Bengals. If I was him, I would say no to the Giants. I would say no to the Titans. I would say no to the Raiders. I would say no to the Falcons. I would say no to the Cardinals. I would say no to the Browns. I would say yes to the Bengals. If Bengals want to dump Zach Taylor, if I was Robert Saleh, Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. He's in his prime. He's about to play his best football. You've got terrific weapons. You've got good talent all throughout your team. It's not the best organization, obviously, but you maybe feel like you can change that culture. You bring a good offensive coach And I think you could wind up in the playoffs next year. You could wind up winning a Super Bowl there. You can win a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is going to win a Super Bowl. I'm very confident when I say that. The rest of those guys, Penix, Kyler, whatever in Cleveland, whatever in Raiderland, Jackson Dart, Cam Ward.
Hey, Deshaun Watson's practice window's been opened, Larry.
Gigantic question marks. But the Bengals are going to win. So I would say, hey, Bengals, offer me a job. As long as I can get good money and a decent terms on my contract and I can bring in a good OC, let's go. Let's go. Bengals all day, every day. The rest of those donkeys, no. That's how I look at it.
I'd wait for one more gig, too. Miami.
Okay. A lot of people want to be in Miami. A lot of
Miami, love Miami, I think, is doable. You know, obviously, Jacksonville's not going to come off cone right away, so that's not out there.
I got another one for you that I think's interesting, and I think Robert Saleh and would be a great fit for. How about the retirement of John Harbaugh, and you go to Baltimore with Eric DaCosta and all that solid, you know, well, you're not a drafter. You're not a personnel guy, but you don't need one.
You attach yourself to a good organization. Guy. You want to attach yourself to a good organization. That's why I would say careful about the Bengals. Without a doubt, you got the QB. Everything else is suspect as hell, dude. So I would, Burrow is that special to where you'd think, all right, he and I can overcome Mike Brown's penny pinching ways. By the way, isn't it a really good thing that the 49ers didn't give all that draft capital up for Trey Hendrickson? You know, with hindsight being 2020, the guy hasn't played since he was a rumor.
Well, I mean, I don't know why he's not playing. Would he have played here? I don't know.
I don't know, but that is a legitimate question.
I'll say this, no more.
He wraps it up and goes on.
No more of this. Like, there's a lot of people saying, hey, the Niners should trade all their assets for Justin Jefferson. And I would say I get it. And there's lots of people that are like in my timeline because I pushed back and said, you know, no more shortcuts. Stop trading 3 picks for Trey Lance. Stop throwing $20 million at one free agent, Javon Hargrave. It doesn't work. You know, for even with the Warriors, they got KD, but then they lost a title because they weren't deep enough. You can't sell out for just one guy all the time. You have to be in the right situation. You have to be drafting really well. Like Green Bay this year, they sold out for Micah Parsons. Okay, but you know what? Gutekunst had done well in the draft for the last 3 or 4 years, and they had very few holes to fill. And so they took a lot of assets, and they said, bring us Micah Parsons. It's a gamble. I don't know if it's going to work. It may not. But that's the right situation to go all in. You can't just keep going all in, all in, all in, all in, because then you wind up with like 3 players, and then you have to like, right. Those players have to carry your whole team, and it's too big of an ask.
You guys, look, it's like Kenny Rogers saying about, you got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away, when to run. You have to be.
Are you quoting Kenny Rogers? If you start going islands in the stream, I'm out of here.
Oh, I'm out of here. You and me, like, we could just go back to back, like, what? Singing it like Kenny and Dolly.
You could have heard a pin drop when the Gatlin boys came calling. Kenny Rogers songs in the 70s, man. I miss Kenny. Some great. The Coward of the County.
My condition is in.
I mean, The Coward of the County is one of the great songs of all time.
Totally. Kenny had stories. I mean, country music, when it's at its best, it's a great story. And Kenny could tell some stories. Let me give you a little story as to why the Chicago Bears will not be the team that you think they are when they get here to play the 49ers. Do you realize that they're about to play the Packers twice in the next 3 weeks? And let me just tell you,
There's somebody else good.
Sammy yesterday. I want to say it again here. There are a few types of people in Chicago. You got a lot of Polacks, you got a lot of Catholics, you got a lot of Irish, and you got a lot of people who lose to the Green Bay Packers every day of the year. That's what Chicago's demographics are. Polish, Irish, Catholic, lose to the Packers. And if you think I'm wrong about that, the Bears used to be 23 games over 500 in the all-time Bears-Packers series, which is the longest-running standing rivalry in the NFL. The Bears were 20.
Nobody beat anybody more than George Halas beat Curly Lambeau.
23 games over 500, and then Brett Favre became the Packers quarterback. Now, this was supposed to end after Aaron Rodgers was gone. It has not ended. Since the Packers signed Brett Favre, they are 51-16 against the Chicago Bears. The Bears will not be sweeping the Green Bay Packers in these next two games. At the very best, they will split. They will not win at Lambeau Field because they never do. And the Packers will probably be favored to beat the Bears at Soldier Field.
I would love to see the Packers sweep the Bears. Oh, that'd be great.
The Bears lose twice.
Well, the Bears could miss the playoffs. The Bears could miss the playoffs.
Yes. This is, dude.
When the Bears still could miss the playoffs.
When we said it's wide open, we were not screwing around.
I mean, let's just say this. As sure as I'm sitting here, that Detroit team that I watched put 44 on the Cowboys last night is going to the playoffs. And they're not in right now. So whose spot are they going to take? And you're in the key is you don't want it to be your spot if you're the Niners. So you got to keep winning. Otherwise, they're going to take your spot. But if the Bears stumble down the stretch here, they are going to take the Bears spot. So we'll see. It's going to be really, really juicy.
I mean, is that or, you know, Tampa?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a very good chance Bears, you know, the Bears are playing as good as anybody in football right now.
They're playing great. But
playing great. If they miss the play, if somehow the 49ers get into the playoffs and they get into the playoffs and Kansas City and or Detroit or Chicago don't get in, that's a break because those are the three teams I probably fear the most and they may not get in. By the way, the Niners used a cut from one of my streams on a video and it's so cool that I got to share the screen. It's only in the first like 40 seconds. So you'll hear it. This is one of the coolest things I've ever had connected to anything I've done. The Niners put this out, and I retweeted it. Someone's like, dude, you're in it. And I'm like, dude, I did not. I retweeted it without even knowing I was in it. I just saw the first minute, and I thought, oh, this is amazing. But are the first 30 seconds, and then I saw myself in it after I shared it, and I watched it from start to finish. And check this out. And tell
Show me
what you think. Here
Show
it is.
Me.
Here it is.
Volume, press play.
It's rain all the way through, no matter what the situation is. No
is
matter
he got a tanning
what
bed? Is he? Is Salah hanging out in a tanning bed? God, he looks.
Here it is. Here it is. Yeah, he's very
tan. There's an old saying, just give us a blade of grass and we'll do our best to defend it. And we expect to take advantage of our opportunities. We expect to be relentless, violent. Those are the individuals who will strain all the way through, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the down and distance is, no matter what the score is. We've got a locker room full of individuals that are going to do everything they can to win every down.
It's all about momentum. You know, how can we keep it going? And we had a good outing, obviously, back in Arizona, but, you know, that's last week. So for us, it's how can we keep going as an offense, as defense, special teams, and put together a team win. Obviously, everybody knows November and December football is huge, especially going into playoffs and everything. So for us, you know, this is a huge one. A lot is on the line, and we all want to go out and show out for each other. But more than anything, our fan base, man, get that place rocking, get Levi's rocking. This is what it's all about.
Monday Night Football, Levi Stadium, get your mind right.
Monday night.
Blair is very glitchy. I'm hardly seeing anything.
Hey, man. Got a party on Monday Night Football. What's that? Keep that camera
very
on.
Glitchy.
Let's go.
This game is. What's going on? It's glitchy. And
on my end, it's very glitchy. I haven't seen you yet. What is your portion of this?
Oh, you're coming. I'm coming up right here. Hold on. I'm going to back it up 1 second.
Great.
Monday night, big opportunity. Don't get better than this. Hey, man. Got a party on Monday Night Football. Keep that camera rolling. Let's go.
This game is huge, huge. Monday night's big. Monday night's big. It's all about just getting in, right? Just get in, and then you see what happens from there. But if you want to get in, you better beat Carolina, and you better beat the Bears. So there you go. Did you catch that?
All right. Yeah, no, I did. I heard you. I heard you. So that's cool, right? So
My
voiceover claim to fame is when Bill Simmons did that Cavs Warriors NBA Finals documentary.
Yeah.
One of the teasers of it for HBO was me doing a segment setting up the game. And like, it was my voice that was the teaser on it. I'm like, can I get cracked off a little cash for this? Come on. Would they just take that from me? Come on.
When did you see it? Did you see it in the arena live?
No, not in the arena live. I saw it when it was being promoted. Like, it was a tweet from HBO and The Ringer and Bill Simmons. And I was like, hey, that's me. I know that guy.
Yeah. Amazing. So thank you to 49ers.
People are saying it came across a lot better if you're watching. So I'm glad that it came across, but that's really cool, Larry. I'm glad that,
it's just like, I sent it to Kev last night. I was like, dude, check this out. And Kev's in Hawaii. I didn't say, hey, I'm in here. Check this out. They used it. The only other thing that I've ever had used that I remember recently was, I asked Brock Purdy before the Eagles game, not the playoff game, but when the Niners went back there for the revenge, I said, hey, you know, my friends back east in Philly are describing you on sports radio back there as the weak link. How does that make you feel? And, you know, he was like, I don't know. I never heard anybody say that before. You could tell you could tell he hated it. He absolutely hated it. And after Brock played huge in that Philly game and they beat Philly in Philly, and Demo Lenore had the night hit on DeAndre Swift, and they did this whole breakdown on the NFL Network, and it has my question going, hey man, my buddies in Philly say you're the weak link. And then they isolated it, and you hear this, then they do this reverb, weak link,
weak link,
weak link, weak link. It's like, it was really cool. And then, you know, then Purdy at the end was like, well, we'll have to see. And he's like, kind of gave the wink. And of course, after you win, they turned it into a really cool video. So all that kind of stuff is so cool. So cool. But 49ers Studios does an amazing job, and I'm just honored to be part of that. I don't know if you saw this, Damon, but I'm dreaming. This is my dream. Niners go to the Super Bowl. I pick Niners Chargers, the Harbaugh versus Shanahan. But now I've morphed that into Niners Patriots. And how about this? Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and Roger Craig all could wind up Super Bowl week in Santa Clara being voted into the Hall of Fame for the class of 2026. How amazing would it be if the Niners played the Patriots in Super Bowl 60 and Roger Craig gets voted into the Hall of Fame, and Belichick and Kraft get voted into the Hall of Fame, and the Niners, you know, wind up beating the Patriots for their sixth Lombardi. I think that would just be epic. I mean, I'm rooting for that.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. It's time for Roger. It is. It's way past due time. Yeah. This shouldn't have gone to a veterans committee or an old folks home to get him in. This is a pivotal player who, in the, you know, evolutionary chart, as you see monkey develop into man, we have Roger Craig, a very important evolutionary step of the running back that football started with in grainy black and white footage to the modern running back that we get now. Roger Craig is one of those developmental steps, and he deserves, like every other great player from those dynastic Niners teams, to be put into the Hall of Fame. He does. It's time. It needs to happen. And I really hope it does, because you cannot tell the story of the game of football without mentioning what Roger Craig did to change the passing game from the backfield.
No doubt. No doubt. He belongs in, and hopefully this is his year. And I could speak for the next half hour on exactly why he belongs in, but he belongs in. And if he'd be in by now, if Walsh were still alive, Walsh died prematurely. It's kept Craig out. And,
hey, you know, George Seifert is, I believe, also up for consideration again here. Or no, Belichick beat out Seifert or something.
Belichick beat out Seifert, Holmgren, Mike Shanahan, you know, those guys.
By the way, it's amazing how every single one of those guys but Belichick has a direct tie to the Niners.
Well, and also, I don't know if you saw this, but they're also that week, in addition to Roger Craig potentially going to the Hall of Fame, how cool would it be if the Niners were in the Super Bowl at home? But also that week, I don't know if you saw this, but AMC and AMC Plus is putting out a documentary on the Niners. And I played the trailer on the stream that I did last night with Sterling. Dude, it is unbelievable. It's voiced by Tom Brady. It's got, you know, all of everything from, you know, Joe versus Steve to how they climbed the mountain and all everything, the entire dynasty. That's going to be out on February 2nd and 3rd on AMC. And then potentially you get Roger Craig and Belichick and these guys in the Hall of Fame. And then maybe you get Niners Patriots in the Super Bowl all within the same week. I'm rooting for it, man. That would be an epic. And, you know, all these years, the Niners have been the best team in football a couple of these years of the regime, and they haven't gotten it done. So maybe this is the year. Maybe they'll get lucky this year, and, you know, the right teams will beat the right teams. I don't know if the Niners can beat the Rams, but maybe somebody else can beat the Rams for them. You know, I don't know if the Niners can beat the Bears, but maybe somebody else can beat the Bears for them. You know, who knows? But it's going to be wide open, and I'll take my chances with Shanahan, with this deep. I think this is the best coaching staff top to bottom the 49ers have had during this regime, because you now have Boyer, you have Saleh, you have Shanahan super motivated. One of these years, Kyle Shanahan's going to get a ring, and I really believe that Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy are getting a ring together. I there's no doubt in my mind that's going to happen at some point. So maybe this is the year. It would be great if it was. It would be unexpected, but it would be great. Uh-oh. Did we lose Damon? We may have lost Damon. Did I execute Damon? Did I hit a button and eject Damon from the studio? No, I don't know if I have, but let's do this.
Hey, sorry about that.
I was going to say this would be a great time to throw a little love towards our sponsors. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. We already thanked them earlier, but thanks to them. Thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles, the great Anthony Catania's at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, along the Monterey Peninsula. He's at 831-521-5264, and he's a great follow on Instagram. Sharp Corners 831. On the gram. And also thanks to Sleeper. 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the country. And thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply, and thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. And of course,
terribly sorry about the glitch on my end, Larry. The reason why you were glitching is because my internet was collapsing here in the house. I just had to reboot things. And thank you for helping get through that. Thanks so much to Ike's. Thanks so much to our good friends at the Dubliner West Portal. Great place to go get a drink, and you can bring your Ike's right in there. Like you said, Sleeper is a huge part of both of our channels. Thanks to them. And Larry, since we're promoting something here before we get into our supers today, I'm really looking forward to joining you at Pig and a Pickle up at Corte Madera on Sunday. The reason why we're going to be up there mid-afternoon is because on Sunday morning, starting at 12:30, I'm very happy to say we're going to be doing a college football preview live stream. We're going to be doing it on the Show Us TV app and system that allows people to connect with the audio, connect with the hosts, and just call on in. We are going to have Elijah Harmon, who is a 4-star recruit from Inglewood High School, announce where he is going. He is deciding between Oklahoma, Nebraska, Oregon, Texas A&M.
And are you going to do the hats thing where you move the hats around?
If he's got a hat, if he wants to go hat party, he'll have to do that on my end. I'm sitting here. We're not going to be together. But if he wants to have a hat party, we're going to let the young man have the floor and let us know where he is going to cast his college hopes. I think that that's pretty cool. And Nate Frazier, who is one of the running backs at Georgia, who right now is like got one of the highest grades in college football as a running back. Georgia's going to the playoffs. He's going to be joining us. We got our friends at Show Us TV doing maybe some other bookings as well. So we're going to be doing like a good hour, hour and a half college football preview with a recruit announcing his commitment. And we're going to be talking to a Georgia Bulldog as well. And obviously Georgia's in the SEC title game. What is that tonight, Larry? So we're going to be talking to him about that. Should be an interesting show on Sunday. And then when I'm done, kids in the car and we'll see you up in Corte Madera.
Sounds good. College football playoffs start tonight. Tonight's the Sun Belt Championship. James Madison is going to beat Troy. And then North Texas is probably going to beat Tulane. But we'll see about that one. That North Texas Tulane game is going to be really pretty good game. That's for the American Championship. And then tomorrow, Texas Tech, number 4 in the country against BYU, the Big 12 Championship game. That's going to be a hell of a game. That's at Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas. I like Texas Tech minus the 12.5 in that one. Then there's Georgia and Bama, two teams ranked in the top 10, the SEC title game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium there in Atlanta. Georgia, 2.5-point favorite over Bama. And then the game of the day is number 1 Ohio State against number 2 Indiana. They'll play it at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy, the home of the Colts. And Buckeyes are 4-point favorites in that one. I kind of like your Hoosiers to win that game. We'll see. We'll see. And then Duke and Virginia, ACC title game. Virginia is very good. They're given 4. Duke's really good as well. They got Darius Mensah, who's had a tremendous year, 28 touchdowns, 4 picks. And they've got this receiver named Barkady or whatever his name is. He's amazing. He's got 63 catches. Virginia's 10-2, Duke 7-5. So that's going to be a good game as well. So that's Saturday. I'll take Duke over Virginia, Indiana over Ohio State,
Georgia over Bama. Look at you.
Yeah, I do think Indiana's really well coached. Hoosiers have issues if there's teams that they don't show up for. And they didn't necessarily play that great against Penn State. And there's a lot of people that believe that Buckeyes' talent is quite a bit better here. But I think there's great talent on both sides. And I like the Hoosiers. I think they're rugged. I think they're better coached.
The Hoosiers do not beat themselves in this game. They're going to have
it's going to be packed with win this. It's in Indiana too. It's going to be a lot of Indiana people.
Oh, it's going to be packed. It's going to be packed. Look, this is Ohio State just trying to win another Big Ten conference. Indiana's trying to win their first Big Ten conference in like 80 years.
They're both going to the playoff.
They haven't beaten Ohio State in 30 something years. And this would just be gargantuan. I mean, if Cignetti wins this game, move over Vince Lombardi, move over Nick Saban. We have a new greatest football coach of all time. If Cignetti wins this game, he's the greatest football coach of all time. He will have done more with less than anyone could have ever imagined. Let me just tell you, going into this one, Indiana goes into the Big Ten title game with 8 starters that had no stars coming out of high school. Ohio State has 4 former 5 stars and 6 other former top 100 players on their team. Ohio State has the budget of an NFL team and the cap space. And if Indiana pulls this off, they will have made 0 mistakes. They've basically played penalty-free football. They didn't get annihilated on special teams. Special teams is where Indiana's difference between Ohio State and Notre Dame was on full display last year. Special teams mistakes in South Bend, special team mistake against the Buckeyes. And again, Indiana took 2 losses last year to the 2 teams that were in the national championship game, have not lost since. Go Hoosiers. Do it just once for Damon. Just once for me in my life. Just one. If we beat Ohio State tomorrow, I will never ask to beat Ohio State again for the rest of my life. Tomorrow is it, Larry. I need this. I need this.
I hear you.
I need this.
I need to mention Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. They're a great sponsor of the Cruise Show.
I'm
going to
need a lawyer after this game. So, Habas, I'm going to put you on speed dial.
Habas Law, I don't know if you ever look at coaches who win relentlessly, the legends, the architects of dynasties, they're systematic warriors, disciplined, obsessive, unwavering. They outwork, outthink, and outlast everybody. No shortcuts, no drama, just pure unfiltered domination. Well, that's Omar Habas and the Tarik Habas and the Habas Law team. When Habas Law goes up against the big insurance companies, the ones that stall, deny, hope that you'll give up, they don't blink. They grind them down. They expose every weakness. Habas Law hits with strategy, pressure, relentless preparation, because Habas Law knows every inch of the Bay Area legal playing field. Nothing, and I mean nothing, catches Habas off guard. If you've ever been injured, you want to win. There's only one call to make. Visit HabasLaw.com. Habas Law, they will fight to make it right. HABBASLaw.com. 1-800-INJURED is their number. Let's go super crazy here on our as we come down the stretch. We only got a few minutes because I've got to jump, but we got this one from Bill Kennedy. What is the future of Bay Area radio? I think it's probably going to be a combination of going to be younger guys, and then it's going to be I think over time it's going to be like for a long time in radio, they look for guys who they thought were good, who they could develop, who could develop an audience. But now we're at a point where I think they're going to younger guys because they can't afford the guys who they've been having in the past. But I think we're going to get to a point where the same people whoever proves that they have an audience is going to be winning on all the platforms.
Here's the deal.
If you have a gigantic audience, they're going to come to you and say, hey, we'll pay you to be on our radio station. So I do think that's going to happen.
At some point, what's coming out of that radio is going to matter again. And at that point, maybe radio will get better again.
It's a business, though. It's not going to get better again. Because here's why. Because I've got kids who are 15 years old that don't turn on the radio. And I've got kids that are 18 and 19 years old who get in the car and they don't turn on the radio in the car. So what's happened is the smart dash and the podcasts and everybody's got the Apple Music, and it's just, we're all in our own little thing. And I think as far as sports radio is concerned, there's going to be a fight to see who can build an audience. And then whoever builds the biggest audience is going to be on top, and they're going to be on all the platforms.
Here's the deal. Radio in the Bay Area without Damon Bruce, it's in a lot of trouble. With Damon Bruce, there could be hope for everyone again.
Knox says, hey, Larry, the 49ers used a soundbite from one of your most recent live streams for their new video on YouTube. It's called A Blade of Grass. Yeah, we just played it. Thank you, Knox. Thank you for reminding me. Joseph Ernberg, YouTube told me I'm a top 0.1% watcher. I'm addicted.
That's awesome. Thank you, Joseph. By the way, isn't that cool when people share their Spotify streaming report cards and their YouTube streaming report cards? And it's amazing how often, Larry, our channels are like right there. You and me, like we're one and two for a lot of people. And we certainly appreciate all of that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Michael Cervantes says, Larry, always knew my favorite host was such a stand-up guy. Thank you for your hard work and your talent. It's an honor to hear you and Damon. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate you. Marcus says, most realistic scenario, Rams lose to Hawks and Lions. 49ers win out for the one seed. Seattle gets number one seed, ? Crazy that it's an option for us to get the number one seed. Yeah. How about this? The Niners are the seventh seed, and the Bears are the one, and they both have 9 wins? Or is it the Rams are the one? But both the one seed and the seventh seed in the NFC have 9 wins. We got this one from Marcus. Hi, Damon. Here's some love for your channel. What is your ideal seating, and what do you think will actually happen as far as seating?
There's just too many pieces to even know what the right seat is, because you could have all of those, you could have 12 through 8 change so much. So, you're going to need to see it all before you land in a situation where look, I've seen Indiana as a 2 seed, and then Georgia's got a much easier path because of what Georgia is predicted as a 4 seed to maybe get. But we'll see it. There's too many moving parts to start predicting anything. I know this sounds like a little defeatist. Dude, I'm just so happy to be there. Like, I really don't care. I don't care how it all plays out. I just do not care. Just put Indiana in the damn thing. If we get a first round bye, holy shit, that'll probably never happen again in my life. I'm just happy to be here. I really
am. A good enough team to beat anybody this year. That's for sure.
We do. And I'm also telling you, I want to be truthful. Ohio State's going to clobber Indiana tomorrow. Like, Ohio State minus the four, like, just it feels like free money. But that's really? Just made my lifetime of defeatist and beatings from Ohio State that I've been abused by. And I can't even see the world through the prism of we can do this.
Ohio State does not get up for the years that I've watched. Ohio State does not get up for every game. And they just came off of a Michigan win.
Title game. But a Big Ten title game and a one seed in the whole tournament as you're trying to be the defending national champs. Like, I don't think Ohio State's going to overlook anything tomorrow. So
I don't think it matters. I think Indiana's better. We'll see.
Here's the thing. If Indiana's running the ball early and Ohio State isn't, that's your early indication something could happen here today. But if Ohio State on the very first play kicks off like a 17-yard run, fuck it. We're just fucked right there.
Joseph Erdberg says the Niners are the dark horse. No one wants to play. PWS, thoughts on Giants hiring Ron Washington? Great hire.
Great hire.
It's a great hire. I mean, you know, you've got a Southern college coach with no major league experience, and now you've got one of the best instructors with tons of major league experience. I think it's a great hire. I think it was brilliant. I think that was really smart. PWS, any score predictions for tomorrow? I don't really have any score predictions.
For the IU game?
No, I like Texas Tech to cover. I think Texas Tech's been really good all year. I think BYU is a really good team, but BYU, I think, is a little bit of home cooking. And Texas Tech has got the best D-line going. I like Texas Tech. You know, they've been looking at fat spreads, 28-point spreads. The spread's 12. I like Texas Tech to cover that. I really do. That would be my vibe on tomorrow's games.
By the way, Vanderbilt and BYU should be in before Notre Dame. If it's between Notre Dame and Miami, the whole thing is like the two of them should play, and then the winner should go to – guess what? They already have played. Miami won straight up. What are we talking about?
It was a long time ago. It was week one. Notre Dame's playing about as well as anybody right now.
Yeah, but
Notre Dame's not going to get left out. I mean, Notre Dame's going to be there. I mean, it's like you just know it. PWS, number one versus number two tomorrow, and both are 12-0. Last time this has happened in a conference championship was 09 Florida against 12-0 against Bama 12-0 in the SEC championship.
Again, just Indiana 12-0. I'm just uncomfortable when I see it.
Come on Friday, says two first-round picks and a player for Gibbs. He's the young CMC. Oh, I love Gibbs. Yeah, Gibbs is a tremendous player for Detroit. Leaked Scorpion, something is just different this season. Hashtag let's do it. No, I agree. There's a different vibe this year. And now it's starting to feel like the Niners are building momentum. Dunn, 98, says here's a 20 spot. Good morning, Damon and Larry. Both you guys have mentioned how important are the turnovers that the Niners get in games. Maybe if they keep the turnovers consistent, they can make it far in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean that's a real big thing. Can the 49ers?
They didn't have
3-0 in the last three games, right? And they've gotten 7 turnovers.
Yeah, they've hardly had any turnovers in the beginning of the year. If they saved them all for late season games in the postseason, that'll work out just fine. Do that.
Dunn says not just turnovers, but turnovers at the right moment to make a difference in the game. The 49ers will upset at least one good team if they make it. I agree. I think 49ers are going to beat somebody. Joseph Erdberg says higher, lower, 0.5 touchdowns for Ricky before the playoffs. I'll go higher. Come on, Ricky. Score a touchdown. Ryan Aloy, Colin Clownherd just said the 49ers will fall out of the playoffs and Detroit will overtake them because they're way more talented. Said it like it's fact. Yeah,
you know what? The Lions at this particular time are way more talented. But the amount of talent on the Niners doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason to how they go out and play every single week. Kyle wins games with the less talented team. Oh, they've been doing it all season long.
Watch the Niners run the table. Dunn says they have been drafting the wrong guys for too long. You need to be able to get your young wide receivers out on the field for just the speed factor.
Again, you think they would have stumbled into one by now?
I think they have. They just got to invest in these guys. Alex the Ghoul says, I don't know why people hate on D. I know of Larry's cause of D. It's like having B13 and M, or it's like Brock. Hate on the defense. I don't know why people hate on the defense.
I think he's talking about me. I think he's talking about like you and I compliment each other, like Brock Purdy and Mac Jones.
I know of Larry because of Damon. It's like having Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. They have their own style. Larry equals speaker. Damon equals headphones only.
Well, I don't know. So, you know, are you super groovy? You want to listen to my bass lines? So you put the headphones on? I don't know. Either way, I feel like that's supposed to be a compliment. Thank you, Alex.
We'll take it as a compliment. Thank you. We got this one from Nevix Media. Anyone else think that Kyle is coaching this year as if his job is depending on it? Yeah, and you never know. We don't know how dysfunctional the Yorks are. You know, it would take dysfunction to run out Kyle Shanahan, but you know what? They've shown that they're dysfunctional at times. Alex the Ghoul, plus and a pickle.
There you go. Thank you, Alex. We understood that one.
Anthony Catania's in the house, the owner of Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. He said, good morning, Larry. Damon, what's up? I wish I could be there this Sunday. Unfortunately, I can't make it. If the Niners win out, they will be the number one seed. Something beautiful is brewing. Feels like the 2010 San Francisco Giants. And thank you, Anthony, for the Ricky Pearsall mini helmet, which we will be giving away to one lucky Krug Show fan on Sunday. Thank you very much for that. And thanks for your sponsorship as well, Anthony. Anthony's a great sponsor. Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles.
What's the over-under, Larry? Ricky Pearsall mini helmets given away or Ricky Pearsall touchdowns this season?
Oh, God, it's got to be touchdowns, please. Fuji Simeon says, IU Ohio State Big Ten championship game will be good.
I hope so, man. I really hope so. Just
Fuji says, off topic Sunday, do Bonds and Kent make the Hall of Fame? No way.
I mean, Fuji's, look at it this way. Jeff should, because he doesn't have the specter of the era over him the way that Bonds does. Bonds is never going to get into the Hall of Fame. Bonds should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We're all out of our minds, and it's why baseball's stupid Hall of Fame doesn't even matter anymore.
Well, it's just stupid. And the people who run the Hall of Fame, baseball's Hall of Fame doesn't have Roger Clemens, doesn't have the all-time hit king, doesn't have Barry Bonds. Is it supposed to be an award, or is it supposed to be a museum that records history? You know, last I checked, I go into museums, I see, stuff that was pre-civil rights, where they didn't allow minorities to walk into the same doors as white people, and yet I see them. It's history of that time is still recorded. We don't not record history.
They're trying to change that. Those displays are coming down in the world we live in now. But
we record museums are recording history. The Baseball Hall of Fame is a museum. It should record history. Did it happen? Yes. Did baseball ever refund anybody a penny? No. Are records legitimate? Yes. Do they still stand to this day? Yes. So baseball. Did Bud Selig's salary explode to $50 million and was he allowed into the Hall of Fame? Yes. Did he have more to say about steroids and their impact on the game than Barry Bonds? Yes. So if Selig's in the Bond and he was just a used car salesman with no talent at all, just a bunch of bucks that he got from his daddy, then if he's in there, then Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, who had special once in a lifetime kind of talent, absolutely need to be in there.
If the commissioner of the steroid era is in the Hall of Fame, you've just endorsed the steroid era is legitimate. And Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens not being in the Hall of Fame, again, is why the Hall of Fame has less value today than it did 20 years ago. Including them in the Hall of Fame would not tarnish the Hall of Fame. It is their exclusion that has tarnished the Hall of Fame.
It's this generation's inability to tell the story of the history of baseball, which has hurt baseball dramatically, and the audience is a fraction of what it used to be. Fuji Simeon, is this the year Roger Craig finally makes the Hall? I think so. I think so. That would be amazing. It will happen Super Bowl week of here in Santa Clara. I hope he gets in. It would be absolutely amazing. My football life cannot be complete without Roger in the Hall. PWS, so no matter what, the Niners move up to the sixth seed? Yes, they move up to the sixth seed no matter what happens this weekend. They could move as high as the number two seed. Stuart So says, if I want hypercritical review, I'll watch Cone. If I want hyper fluffy, I'll listen to Lombardi. If I want a straight shooter review, it's Krug and Bruce. Yeah, thank you.
That's exactly where we want to land. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck? I'll take that every day. Alex the Ghoul, I meant to say, I know of Larry's because of Damon's. I know of Larry's channel because of Damon's channel, and you guys compliment each other like Brock and Mac. Thank you, sir. Fuji Simeon says, please let San Ignatius lose tomorrow. Sorry, Larry. They're not losing to SH. Go Cats, get them Cats, go get them Cats. Hey, you, there's nothing you can do. I say you just can't stop that cat machine.
All right. Is that part of, I've never heard that verse before. Machine.
Hey, you, there's nothing you can do. I said, you just can't stop that cat machine.
Yes.
Okay.
That was our cheer. And also we used to have a, you know, hey, ho, ho, we want a touchdown right there. Hey, ho, ho, we want a touchdown right there. It's better than we got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?
Yeah. We used to do the old Rick'em, Rack'em, Rick'em, Ruck'em, get the ball and really fight.
We got this one. Oh, wait, we got that one from Fuji. If Kent makes the Hall of Fame, Larry grappled with him. Yes, that's right. I did in the Astros clubhouse. Ryan Aloy, defenses in playoffs need to view a peer.
You and Kent got physical one day?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't tell you that. So I went into the clubhouse and he was kind of holding court in the back of the clubhouse. And I was just down there to get some sound. I was doing sports phone. Tom and Ralph were on. Well, he looks right at me. There's a bunch of people in this group, like seven of us. But I'm standing, you know, right straight across from him. And he's looking right at me. And he goes, why don't you guys, all you guys do is bitch about the game. He's looking right at me. Because I'm doing the post game show, and that's my job to talk about the game. And yeah, when they lose,
game soundbite. Yeah. Is that where you came from?
Yes. Enjoy the game more. You guys need to enjoy the game more. All you guys do is bitch about the game, and then I'm like sitting there and I'm just shaking my head like this. And he goes on, and he goes, "You people here in the Bay Area are so stupid to pay these real estate prices, and you people are so stupid and all this stuff." So I walk down the hall. I go to the bunker. I roll it back to the station. I tell the guy, the intern in the back room there, the bullpen at KMBR, I'm like, you tell Ralph to play these cuts ASAP. So then Ralph gets on there. Krug went down to the ballpark, Tommy, and he got Kent to say some stuff. And supposedly it's really juicy, so we got to play it. You got to play it. So Ralph plays it. Right? You people are so stupid to pay these real estate prices. Enjoy the game more. Enjoy the game more. So Tolbert's riffing on it, and Tom and Ralph's riffing on it. Now fast forward, it's 7:05. Now batting for the Houston Astros, Jeff Kent.
Boo! Kent, you asshole! Screw you, Kent!
Booed mercilessly, right? Next day, I go in the clubhouse, and he goes, hey, man, you went and put that on the radio. And then I said, I looked at the microphone. I take out the microphone. I'm like, hey, see this thing? See, if you speak through this end, Jeff, it doesn't do anything. But if you speak through that end, it gets recorded, and then you have to own that shit because it goes out on the radio. And he's like, you're a punk. And he grabbed my shirt. And we're like in the hallway, and I grabbed his shirt, and now he's pushed me up against the wall, and I pushed him back up against the wall. And so now the Astros people are all over the all kinds of Astros are jumping in, you know, separate these guys. And I'm like, dude, what do you got? You got to put your hands on me? Come on, bro. And then they're like, hey, it'd probably be best if you left. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. I'm like, thanks, Jeff. Next time, think before you talk. Own your words, you know, like that. And I just walked out of the clubhouse.
Well, and, all I can tell you is
that was pretty much the last we ever spoke.
the enjoy the game soundbite, one of my favorite Giant related soundbites in the history of KNBR. I also love, because it came from me, the caller who's so excited one night was like, Ray Durham's at Momo's. You remember that soundbite? Ray Durham's at Momo's. And then my single favorite Giant soundbite of all time, though, is it's Omar Vizquel singing Broadway's Dark Tonight.
Oh, my God. All right, I got to go. Here we go. Ryan Aloy says, defenses in the playoffs need to view Pearsall as a threat. They need to know they can sell out. They can't sell out to stop CMC and respect the air game. Pearsall is the key. We've got Fuji saying Bonds would have helped you fight Kent Larry, LOL. We got this one, 49er fisherman Lar. I've met Grant. He's really one of the nicest and most generous with his time type of person you will meet. You are spot on. Thank you to everybody. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Habas Law. Thanks to Sleeper. Damon, quickly thank your people, and we are out.
Yeah, thank you to Ikes. Thank you to Dubliner West Portal. And let me promote it for you, Larry. Join the Krug Show coming up this Sunday from what time is it going to be there?
I'm going to be there at 11 a.m.
11 a.m. till they're out of barbecue. It's the Krug Show. I'm going to be coming up with the kids and Jillian after I finish up my college football playoff preview show. So really looking forward to supporting you, Larry, with all the support you've given me. It means an awful lot that we can be there to support you. So thank you, brother. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you, man.
And like and subscribe to both channels. Thank you so very much. Larry, last word for you.
I'm streaming with Chase right now. Join me over there. Have a great day, everybody. Peace.